Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Let's pray. Blessed be your name, O God. Why don't you pray for yourself this morning? Pray the Lord will, the Lord should speak to you. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Open your ears that you can hear His voice. Pray. Hallowed be thy name, O God. Kebrosh kabarandas marande me kebres kebrende me keria basata barabalondos lebrosh kebrende de besanda barababa lebrosh kebrende me kebrendes bandere me kebres kabaranda makabras kabaranda leboroshi kabarababa sata barababa. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Lord of majesty, divine authority, hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be your name.
Hallowed be your name. Oh, hallowed be your name. Divine authority, hallowed be your name.
Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. We say hallowed be thy name. Thank you for bringing us together again. We pray that, Lord, you will speak to our hearts, you minister to us. Lord, let us experience wisdom in a profound way this morning. I give you praise. Thank you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, we are on a campaign for 200 people during the Wisdom Service, 8 o'clock from 8 to 10. We want to win 200 souls and seated here every Sunday morning for the first service. And it is your and mine business. I said it is you and my business. You see, you must be concerned about the Lord's business. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. There are some of us who are not concerned at all. You must be. Jesus at the age of 12, when his mother asked, you know, when they went to Jerusalem for a festival, and they left. When they left, they didn't realize that Jesus was not with them until they were way, way out of Jerusalem. And then, you know, Mary all of a sudden said, where is Jesus? And Joseph said, ah, I thought he was with us. He said, no. Then they went around asking the friends and the relatives who had gone to worship in Jerusalem with them. And they said, oh, no, we didn't see. I mean, we saw him when we were all trying to go, but we know. And it was like that. So they went back to Jerusalem looking for the boy Jesus Christ. They searched and searched and searched and searched the place. And then somebody said, oh, I think I saw a little boy going that direction where the synagogue is. So they said, let's go and check. Lo and behold, when they got to the place, they saw Jesus in the midst of the Pharisees asking questions. And then Mary said, bye. You know how we women will behave, no? How women will say, bye. How is it? What are you doing? How come you know, why didn't you, you little rascal. I'm sure Mary used to tell Jesus he was a rascal. Yeah, little one, you know, you're a naughty boy. I'm sure Jesus received all those things because he became a human being. So he must have gone through all the things we all went through. And they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. I mean, our only son. That came miraculously. We can't find you. So Jesus said to them, oh, didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? At 12 years old. That's why it was very interesting when we went for a camp. Those who don't know, we went for a camp. We went for a camp. And a 12-year-old was able to say that he's called by God when a 21-year-old couldn't say anything. 28 couldn't say anything. It's a blessing that at 12, he will know that he has to. It's spoiling. He has to be busy with his father's business. And you must be concerned. If God is your father, then his business is not on Regent Street. His business is right here. So those of us who come to church with a certain mind, you know, you just come and you go. You come and you go. God, that's not what God wants. I said, that's not what God wants for you. God wants you to be concerned about his business. And that's why we're saying for the first service, at the end of the service, we'll get a count. So the ladies at the media, it's 200 per service. Right? 200 per service. We're seeing that those who come for the service, whether they are mindful about their father's business. And not just inviting people, but just ensure that you see, when you invite people to come to church, that's not the end of it. Because coming to church on a Sunday is not the whole Christianity. You have to ensure that every Sunday they come. You have to ensure that they are reading their Bible. You have to pray for them. That is quite a basic thing that you must understand about. So we are our target is 200 people for the second service, which is between between 8 and 10 a.m. that we call the wisdom service. Are you with me? Are we going to be busy? Are we going to be concerned about the father's business? It has fault again. Are we going to be concerned about the father's business? Okay. Don't make sure it's not just your business only, but the father's business. Because you need a father at a point in your life anyway. When you go, you say, but I eat the posture business. When I ask you for gold, do this thing. You're doing it. Oh, you are. It's the same thing. It has not ended. If you don't get concerned about God's business, I mean, he has nothing to offer you. I won't tell you a lie. I said, I won't tell you a lie. Oh. No. I won't tell you something that's not true. Uh-huh. Those of us who are kind of busy with, you know, God's business, we know how he helps us. He blesses us. He favors us. And he makes things work together for our good. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, I believe. We are looking at confusion. Confusion. Confusion is the lack of clarity. That's the first thing we must understand under confusion. Confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. A good sound engineer. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You see, we are in the church. And we are looking at the things that works in the church and the things that do not work in the church. Just like, you see, in every sphere of life, whether it's the home, whether it's the school, whether it's at workplaces, you try not to entertain things that must not be in these places. If you are in school, I've seen, a while ago, I was at one of my daughter's school, and I saw the HM send a boy to go and wash, take out the gel or something from his hair. Because the guy had come to school with jelly curls. Yeah, fancy girl come to, you know, hustle the girls in the class with jelly curls. I know why boys put jelly in their curls. Or they put jelly in their hair to create curls. Remember, it is a woman who is supposed to do things with the hair. Or ha ha. Oh man. It's training. So women can do all kinds of things with their hair. It's appropriate. But when a man does that, you look like a gigolo. You know a gigolo? A gigolo. Are you here? So in every institution, you try as much as possible to get rid of elements that do not belong to the institution. So when sometimes even you see headmistresses and headteachers taking the boys' pants and they try to rip it open. Lady Pastor Mary, isn't it? It's because they come with pants that are tight. It's squishy. I mean, you see, I hope I met Vincent Alexander, the former deputy registrar of the University of Guyana. I met him at the funeral a while ago, and when the service was over, we were all outside. People were greeting each other, and I went to greet him. And I said, "Hi, sir. How are you?" He said, "Bye, bye." We're talking, and I said, so the education system. What are you people doing? Are you going to, you know, train our children well or not?" He was laughing. I said, "You know what? I have free advice for you." He was laughing. I said, "If I were some of you in your position, because he's an advisor to the Minister of Education now, Rupert Narayan. One of his advisors is Vincent Alexander, which sounds like more to me like a political favor than any functionality. Because as a Minister of Education, you have people all over that you can consult." So for somebody to come and be with you from the UG and all of that, it's like this PNC guy, let's give him something to do. Yeah, these people, it's politics. Yeah. Brother Kofi, everything all right. You know, so I said, if I were the minister, if I was the Minister of Education, I would take all the schools out of Georgetown. I'll take all. Is it they are struggling with breakdown? It's not only breakdown. Even Roses that got the top, whatever CXC, that place is a jungle. You should go and sit in their auditorium and smell. I hear there's a big gutter under the building. The stench. Look at Central High. It's like a chicken pen, just like breakdown, also. As if I was the Minister of Education. The breakdown thing is not just one off. I will move every school out of Georgetown. Georgetown must be a city. It must be business and the people who want to live around and then traffic and all that. But school, to make sense go into a child's head, I will take the child away from all these pressures. On the highway. Rupununi. You go to school in Rupununi. You go to school on Matthew's Ridge. When it's vacation, then you come on the boat. When you go, you have the peace. You see nature. You see monkeys. You see leopards and cheetahs. You learn good. You focus. You don't have to be in a minibus with playing broke off your back and thing. You're going to school. All your mind is messed up. So in Ghana, where I was born, the ladies, anything. Somebody, I think the people that we took to Ghana, somebody asked, why are the young girls, why do they have boycott? That's the reason. When you go to secondary school, from secondary school form 1 to secondary school form 5, and you are a girl, it's compulsory boycott. I'm preaching about confusion. You may not see where I'm coming from, but I'm preaching about confusion. I am not perambulating at all. Everybody boycott. So you won't have a problem. You see, because they have to wake up. Everybody, when you are in a boarding school, you wake up at a particular time. You do your chores at a particular time. All our children who don't do chores, who are lazy at home, it's because of training. And somehow it's very difficult. Only quite a few are able to stay on course somehow. Because it's a lot of lazy young people are around. Lazy young people. I mean, it's very difficult to discipline them and keep them on track. Except the Lord touches their heart. But it's the environment and then how we raise them. That's the main thing. So when they come to church, it's the same thing also. So every girl is boycott because you have to sleep at a particular time, wake up at a particular time, and then go to class at a particular time. But we know when it comes to girls and their hair, or not even girls, women and their hair, it's something else. The Bible says the glory of a woman is the hair. You look at the hairs around here. People have looked into the mirror for minutes and hours before they came out with that hairstyle they have. Yeah. This. Brother, come with this. But it is good because a woman has to look good. And the hair adds up. You see, if you don't keep your hair nice, you won't look nice. You'll be an ugly woman. You have to comb it. You have to put some. You have to roast it. Sometimes you have to barbecue it and all of that. And machines. You have to do all kinds of things. So that with all the dress and face and everything, you have something on top also that makes you look nice. It's in order. So just as in institutions, you have to eliminate unwanted elements and unwanted concepts and principles so that the purpose of training can be focused on. The reason why they do everybody boycott is that you need to focus on the education. So when you come around and every 5 minutes you're in a mirror, then it's like we are not going for a beauty contest. No, when we were in school, I mean, now it has changed. When we were in school, you have to eat with a cutlery set. If you come to the dining hall, we all go to a big dining hall. That's why I am ashamed. So when I see at the University of Guyana, you don't even have an assembly hall. Where when they are doing graduations, you go inside. They meet outside. Yeah. Up to now, since the university started up to now, it's like people can't see. It's a parking lot. They can't build a place where everybody can sit inside a big hall, like the cultural center. It's Burnham who built it. Yeah. After that, nobody has done anything else. It's Jubilee Stadiums people are building. When there is, we need something, the highest place of learning, oh. The people who go there are supposed to be those who have a lot of wisdom and knowledge, and they cannot build a shed over their head for graduations. So when you graduate with that, your gown and your thing, you're excited. You realize that the brains that is in your head, it doesn't correspond to where you are at. It's mysterious. It is. They don't think far. But we have dining halls. We have dining halls. A big hall, bigger than this. We have tables, like what we had at the camp. The long tables and benches like that. So 10 people to a table all over the place. A school of about 600-700 people. Everybody is one big hall. By houses, by tables. And you are there. Form 1 up to upper 6. You have a representation from every class there. And then the girls will serve big pot of rice, big pot of stew. And then you serve everybody. And then the senior, if somebody is in upper 6, he's like the most senior on the table. He sits down and he crosses his legs. And he looks at a girl who's sharing the food. If you like, you leave small. And he doesn't eat. He waits for everybody to go. He eats from the bowl. So, you know, when you're a big man, you do big shots, right? So he doesn't bring his plate and cutlery because he has done that for 6 years. He fed up. He tired. So he sits down and he watches the lady who is sharing the food. And he looks at his cutty eye upon you.
what he's trying to say is that give everybody little and leave a lot in the bowl for him. If you don't do, you see, many girls have suffered from seniors. Because when they were sharing the food, they shared it. You see, what is like, it's a form three girl. When she's sharing the food, she sees a form one boy who looks so hungry, you know. So this year she puts more. And the senior will look at her. I am more hungry. You see, the training will round you up. When you finish form five, oh man. You realize that you are somebody who knows certain things. You must eat with a cutlery set. Cutlery, fork and knife, not fork only. Many of you know how to only use fork. Fork. No. Fork and knife. Try it, let's see. Sometimes they cook plantain. Plantain is hard. When you try to cut the plantain, will jump up like that. And maybe your girlfriend is on the next table. When she looks at you, your plantain come up like that. Hey! Yeah. No, I would change the, I would take every school away from here. Students will be like the army. You'll be out of town to focus and concentrate on your education. In the same manner, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. It means that where God is, there shouldn't be any argument about what is the purpose, what is the mission, where we are going, what we are doing. There shouldn't be any arguments about that. Things should be clear. I mean, that. And I said that when you come to this church, there shouldn't be any argument about who is the pastor. And when my wife comes, you see that my wife has come. Oh, if you don't know my wife, you stay here. You see that she will come. Well, you know, hey, she'll come at the time that everybody has seated. You will see that this is the pastor's wife. There's no confusion at all. You wait a little bit and see. Oh, probably the only car that will come into the yard will be here. I said, you. There's no confusion. You see, she'll come. And she'll come and sit somewhere. You see, I said, if you like, stay for the second service. You see, I won't tell you who my wife is, but you know. Just in case you thought Lady Pastor Mary is my wife sitting with me here. He said, you wait, you will see. You will know. I think we even look alike. If we say, oh, that's it. Are you with me? So any element of confusion in the church must be sprayed with bacon. Must be ironed out with spray starch. Anything that is hanging in a balance and we are not sure what it is, it must be clear. Otherwise, we are entertaining Satan and his actions and his activities in the church and among the church. There cannot be anything that is, you know, it's like, I'm not, I'm this, I'm that. So we started sharing from chapter 5 of this book. The first point is that confusion is the lack of clarity. When your math teacher is teaching algebra, when you don't get it, you get confused. When you get a test and they say, calculate, and what is this plus that? You realize that you just did the there's no clarity. That's why you're struggling. What's the second point I gave you? We said confusion is a weapon of war. If you want to confuse, if you want to defeat an army, put confusion among them. And it's very simple. If you want to confuse an army, just create plenty leaders. Let not just one be a leader. Let a lot of people be leaders. You see that the people be confused. Who are we following? Well, which direction are we going? Are we going here or there? Yeah. By the time you spend time trying to clarify, you see a bomb. And sometimes those things happen in the church where people do not follow the leader. They follow other people who are in the church. Confusion is a weapon of war. And sometimes Satan confuses the leader. And he also confuses the church members. You can't follow a leader who is confused, though. If you follow a leader who is confused, you become doubly confused. Yeah. And you cannot allow yourself as a church member to be confused about the church you belong to. You see, one interesting phenomenon that we have in our country is how people easily visit other churches. Oh, I didn't see you. Oh, I visited my friend's church. I didn't see you. I attended a christening. Why do you have so many contacts all around like that? When it comes to faith, when it comes to belief, it must be clear where you are at. You can't visit any church just like that. One day I invited a young lady to come to church. She said, oh, I have a church, but I can visit you. If only you also visit me the next week. I said, please don't come. You don't know who you are talking to. I can't visit your church. What do I say? Oh, I invited a young lady, so I'm visiting their church. No. Me, I can't visit anybody. Just as I can't visit anybody, you also can't visit any other church. It's clear. There shouldn't be any confusion about who you are as a church member of Lighthouse Chapel International. If you are from another church, you can be confused and visit us. That's okay. That's not a problem. But the Lighthouse people, it should be clear in your mind. You are either satisfied here or you are not satisfied and you go. But if you are satisfied here, you stay. Can you imagine that you are married to a man or to a woman and then you say, you know what? Man, I feel like just going to have sex with somebody for today. It's like, this is my wife. I'm married, but you know what? Man, let me just, it's been 4 years. I've not, you know, let me try and go and just stretch my legs somewhere. Go do some exercise. No, you bring a problem. In the same way, you can't be in a church and say that, I am visiting. Visiting where? Do you want to be a visitor or you want to be a member? See, when you get to some of these airports, JFK airport, they say visitors, permanent residents. You get to Timiri airport, they say visitors, CARICOM and Guyanese nationals. Which line do you want to go? Visitors? No, you feel proud when you follow Guyanese nationals. You say, I've come to my country. Because as a visitor, you can easily get some wicked guys there asking you all kinds of questions. What are you doing here? What's the purpose of your visit? I've joined the visitors line several times. Because me, when I go and I see, you see the Guyanese line long, the visitors line short. Now I follow the short line. I act as if I don't know what I'm doing. So everybody goes slowly. And when I go, they don't ask me nothing. I see my pastor. I say, okay. The day that I act as a visitor, then they ask me, what is the purpose of your visit? I say, I live here. Hey! Oh, look at my face. Then he goes to the passport. Say, oh, okay. So where is your? I said, this is what I have. Yeah. The last time too, I tested Scotiabank. They have some good customers line and then the ordinary people. So that when I go, the ordinary people is long because they don't respect us. I'm a pastor. I'm God's servant. When I come to the bank, they should have a line for God's servants also. I see this world does not appreciate God's people. So they make you stand in the line. That's why when I walk around with some small t-shirt and some jersey and slippers and things like that. So I feel like I'm a small man. I don't want to go shirt and tie, dress up, and I'm at the back of some Sankwas line. You know Sankwas? Yeah, you feel more bad. So let me just put on anything and let me just go. And when you're on the line, and someone goes, hello, pastor. I say, oh, please. Please, don't come and call me pastor here. Let me just be in my line quietly. These people are disgracing us. So I got a trick. And I get to Scotiabank. I used to like the drive-through when there was a human being there. Because when you drive through, you sit in your car. I don't like people to know my business. Especially when I go to the bank. Because people like talk. Yeah. If you go and then you are there for a long time, you say, church, like, must be church money. The man come for withdrawal. No, please, I don't want to know confusion. So I don't want to be seen at the bank. If I want to go to the ATM, I go in the night. Nobody sees me. Because I don't want anybody to see me and say, yes. see yesterday, you come. Today, you come too. That's fantastic. It's very fantastic. You know, so I go and I see, they say gold customers. And I ask, I've never seen any human gold that comes here. So as long as I can't see that your face is gold or you are walking gold, I can also be a gold. So I go and I also join the line. And when I get to my tent, they don't ask me nothing. I just do my business and I go. The first time I tried it worked. I said, every time I come, I'm coming to gold customers. You should try it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you get torn back, you say, what? What happened? Why, what kind of service is this? That, just open your mouth there and then just walk away. So, you know, the shame wouldn't be too much, right? I'll report you to your manager. Just walk out. You walk out and say, oh, Lord, why I get this gift like that? Don't say, Pastor, I advise you. I beg you. Hallelujah. So, what are we talking about? So, it's confusion. That there must be clarity. All right. Number three. Do you have number three? Number three. We said that confusion is demonic. Why do we say confusion is demonic? Confusion is demonic because God is not the one who brings confusion. So if God is not the one who brings confusion, then the person who brings confusion is the devil. And anything from the devil is demonic. It's demoniac. So ladies and gentlemen, we must be careful about the things that we are not clear about. That's why questions must be asked. You must ask questions. You must ask questions. You must ask questions. You must ask questions. You must ask all the time. Otherwise, you can easily not be clear about something. Once you are not clear about it, then Satan says, yeah, I've got somebody I can use. And you don't want to be used by the devil. I say, you don't want to be used by the devil. You don't want to be used by the devil. You don't want to be used by the devil. You don't want to be used by the devil. You should come and spend a weekend in my house, okay? It'd be nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You would change forever. Yeah. All of us went to camp. Amen. So confusion is demonic. Confusion is the uncertainty, the blurring of the lines, the mystification of issues, the mixing of good attitudes and bad attitudes. Should I take it again? Confusion is demonic. Confusion is the uncertainty. When you are uncertain about something, you are confused. And since you are confused, it's Satan who is working on you. It's not like, oh, even when you are confused, it's a simple situation. No, no, it's Satan who is working. And that's what we are trying to highlight in the church and in your life, that you should not be at any point where you are confused. Because once there, you are uncertain. Like when I ask you, is the guy going to marry you? Say, I don't know. But you are living with a guy. He's not going to marry you. You are confused. Satan is right there. Is he going to marry you? No. So then why are you staying with him? Okay, you see, the clarity even will make you move out. The clarity makes you move out. Because if you know that a guy is not going to marry you, then you ask yourself, why am I living in this house? What am I doing here? It is clear. But is he going to marry you? Yes. Then okay, maybe you can wait for the marriage proposal to come after 24 years that you are still living together. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. It's clear. I have asked several ladies. One day I called a woman into that time. My office was somewhere at the back here. And she came. She came with her child father. They had lived together for about 26 years then. It's about 3-4 years ago. So I asked the guy. Because when the lady started coming to church, the guy couldn't understand why she of all people would come to church. So the guy said, she must have seen a guy in the church. So one day the guy said, I come to church with you. He wasn't coming for God, though. He's coming to see who is the guy that all of a sudden this my wicked wife or this wicked child mother is going to this church steady. When he came, God being so good, he didn't see any man. You know, so then he started coming one time. So I invited them to for a little chat. They came. And we were talking. I asked the man, when are you going to marry this your child mother for 20-something years? He said, no, nobody can force me to marry somebody that I'm not ready. Nobody can force me to do something that I'm not ready for. That same day was the day the lady should have gone home and packed her bags and said, bye, I can't. Because clarity has come. If you were waiting, if you were uncertain, the confusion is on the lack of clarity. Confusion is the uncertainty. So that day, the lady should have said, you know what? I'm done with you. She didn't decide. It took her another 4 years. Come and see. It became a police story. It became a police story before she moved out of the house. And they are still separated. And there's still no marriage. Now the woman doesn't even want to see any man. You see what confusion can do? It confuses your mind. So it's like, now instead of, you see, somebody, instead of opening up for another fresh relationship, the previous one confused you so much that you are not sure whether you should entertain a man in your life, yes or no. You are there. I mean, every human being needs some little comfort now and then, you know. Yeah, if you're a woman, I'm sure sometimes you need your bobby to be squeezed now and then. I mean, it's normal. For your bobby to be sucked and things. It's part of life. Yeah, how can you live your life and your bobby has not been sucked? I mean, no, about 5 years ago. 5 years. You become the confusion. It's like, now you become a very, you become an individual who doesn't seem to understand the normal thing that human beings do. Yeah, you must be juk in the night. You must have some juk saying. It's normal. Now you walk around like you're a robot, confused for the rest of your life because there is uncertainty. You allowed uncertainty to come to cloud your mind. Now you are living in that uncertainty. So are you going to marry or you won't marry? Do you like a woman or you like a man? Make it clear. It's confusion. And you can know that once there's confusion, the devil is there. So confusion is the uncertainty, the blaring of the lines. It's like, it's not, it's okay. Are you in Lighthouse or not? Are you a church member or not? Who are you? It's a blare. You need glasses. The glasses is the truth to make you see clear. The blaring of the lines. The mystification of issues. You are mysterious. Yeah, mysterious. You come around in church, you smile, but you only go so far. You are like a mysterious, you are like a KGB spy. Then who are you? You are mysterious, mystic woman, mystic man, Mr. Mystic, Mrs. Mystic, Madame Mysterious. No, some church members are like that. They get dropped in some big vehicles, tinted, and they drop them. You don't know who is in the vehicle. You don't know who they are hiding. They get down, their shoe to their hair, 50,000 every Sunday. What kind of mystery? What is this mystery? It's confusion. Confusion is the mystification of issues. That's why Bishop says that. He has reduced it to 3 minutes. He said, any meeting, any discussion that you will have that is more than 5 minutes is a bad meeting. Now he said 3 minutes. So if I call you, I call Odessa, and then we have a meeting, and it lasts for more than 3 minutes, something is wrong. There is some mystification there. So Bishop said, any meeting more than 3 minutes, that's it. Finish. It's not a good meeting. It will not be in that. And many of us are like that. If I were to call you and ask you about something I have observed about you, you would take me on a 10-15 minute meeting. Because you want to maintain your mystery nature. Why can you not just be open and clear and say, you know what, this is me. I don't want it. I don't like it. Or I like it or I want it. Why can you not be clear? Then when you do that, then you continue in these things. And the devil, that's why that he makes your life complicated. Now, if you want to marry somebody, you see, many of us are confused. You can't love a girl for more than 2 years and not decide to marry her. If you meet somebody, maximum 2 years. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? What kind of mystery and confusion is that? Mystification of issues. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. Why are you making it too mysterious? What is there in this world that we cannot understand? We can Google it if you don't understand. Google.gy. We can Google it. You can go to Google University and find out the reason behind the thing. Don't say, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. Pastor, you see my case. I mean, I don't like to talk about it because, you know, when I talk about it, people don't understand. What do you mean by it? How come people don't understand your simple life? How come somebody cannot understand? You are just trying to be mysterious. You are just trying to stay in confusion. I'm preaching a very good message. The mixing of good attitudes and bad attitudes. Today the person is smiling, they are with you. Tomorrow they behave in a different way. It's confusion. It's like you're wondering, is this person on my side or not on my side? Many people behave like that. Many church members behave like that. Today they are their best. Tomorrow they are doing something else. You are in a marriage. You are not certain. You see, as much as God hates divorce, it's better to leave than torment people or create confusion. You see, a lot of marriages that are not working, you know. Yesterday, somebody, a wife was telling me a very, very interesting story. I was saying that, you know what? He said, Reverend, do you know that? It's a very interesting thing. He said, Reverend, do you know that the last time me and my husband tried something, the thing couldn't get up for us to do what we wanted to do? I said, what do you mean? He said, Reverend, I did all that I could do. I Googled all the problems. The lady said, I tried everything. He said. Then he said, by what happening? And so the husband said, man, it's not the right time, man. It's not the right time. Because she was telling me that the guy has moved on, but he's not saying it. She said, I tried. I don't know. I did ice cream. I did lollipop. All kinds of things I did. She said the thing refused. And sex, the biggest sex organ is your mind. Yeah, it's not anything. Sex, your mind is a sex organ. That's why Jesus said, you don't have to do it before you even do it. Jesus said, you don't have to physically sleep with somebody before he will tell you that you have committed adultery or fornication. He said, when you look at a woman and you will lust after her, because the thing is in the mind. So some people do it physically. Some people do it in their minds. So the person who does it physically and the person who does it in the mind. If you do it in the mind, you can be hypocritical to think that you are better than the person who has done it physically. But it's the same thing. Yeah, because you've done it. It's something in the mind. The lady said, he said, Pastor, for about an hour. He said, so just come out openly and say, you know what, sweetie? I don't want you anymore. Don't come and lie down all night and then people are doing all kinds of magic with your something, that something. And the thing, you see, so it's clear. You see, you can't deceive people. It's clear. Because she knows that when you lie together, the Bible says when two is better than one, because when the two lie together, they give each other warmth. But your thing is still cold.
No, blood. And you see, blood triggers into that area of the body because of what the person imagines and what the person intends to do. So he pushes blood into the vessels, and then things begin to wake up. Say, hey, let me rise up. And say, hello, give me a chance. So the lady saying that, the man has moved on. I said, really? He said, brother, I'm telling you. I said, wow. So why doesn't he just say clearly? Why does he want to take you on a setting, you know, tell you that it's not the right time? What do you mean it's not the right time? Every time is the right time. Every time is the right time. Who told you that? Did God say that there's a particular time that you should? No. The mind has been tuned off where this lady is concerned. And she's observed by she made a litmus test. Leroy, he made a test. Is it not true? If you don't want a woman anymore, no matter what they do, no act you can do. You can take a pole, carve it, they can take a pole and put it in the bedroom and dance around the pole and all of that. Yeah. If it's gone, it's gone. So make it clear. There are many husbands and wives who don't even sleep on the same bed, you know. But then when they come out of the house, hi, good morning. Yeah. Some are sleeping in the couch. Some are sleeping in another room. Some are sleeping in the children's room. The children's room has become your room. One day, a husband called me. He said, Pastor, this girl, I don't understand why she called herself a sister, you know. I said, why? She said, she's been sleeping in the children's room for the past couple of weeks. Yeah. Meanwhile, when that lady comes to church, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I said, hey. Yeah. I said, are you sure? He said, Pastor, you don't know my wife. And look at the lady. And look at the guy. So I said, no, you must be lying. Stop. Confusion. Good attitudes. Attitudes. When you come to the church, it's you are a shepherd, you are a church worker. Hello, shakabra, skabra, baba, kabra, baba, kabra, baba, kabra, baba, kabra, baba. When you are home, you are sleeping in the children's room. Confusion. God is not the author of confusion. It's the devil who makes things so confused. Come out openly and say what it is. Let there be clarity so we can move on in peace. My time is up. Please stand to your feet. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Blessed be your name. Babos Kebrindib. Thank God for his word this morning. Thank God. Lebros Katabaya Barabasa Kabarababa. Lebros Atabaraba Kabras Kebrindis. Lila Bosikaba Andirimi Kabras Kataya Baba. Blessed be your holy name, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so purify my heart and let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, so pure gold and refineless fire. My heart's one desire is to be without confusion, holy and set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, holy. And set apart for you, my master, and ready to do
Your will. Father, this morning, I want to thank you for making things clear in our minds that you are not to be associated with things that are uncertain, things that are a mixture of good and bad, things that are not clear. May we not be victims of confusion. Let confusion, oh God, be moved away from our lives. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for visibility. Thank you for light that shines in our darkness. Thy word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. Thank you for blessing our lives in your presence this morning. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.